as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love.
These are the cold, hard football facts on Patriots.com. The truth hurts.
You never take advice. Someday you'll pay the price. I know. I've seen it before. It happens all the time. You're closing the
door. Welcome, everybody, to the Cold Hard Football Facts radio show on Patriots.com. Patrick Emick here, along with the Gridiron Americus, the lovely and talented, and the potentate of pigskin worldwide, Kerry J. Byrne. Kerry, how are you on this fine autumn afternoon?
Well, I'm very good, and I'm excited by the fact I get more titles every week. This is very exciting for me.
Yeah, I got that. The board of directors let me know that you were a little sensitive about only having one nickname. So, as they had asked, they said, come up with some more.
Well, nothing keeps me happier than more nicknames. You know, I just posted on Facebook. I think they should chisel my lovely visage on the side of Mount Studmore, Pat.
You know what? Anything that has to do with chiseling a bust of you is okay by me.
So anyway, how you doing, man?
I'm good. We've got a big show today. Are you pumped? Are you ready to go?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. We got some really, you know, I think we've had some great guests all along, Pat, and I think we got some great ones lined up this week as well, and as well as some great segments too.
Yes, we got the icy issues. We'll get to that in a few minutes. We're also going to touch on our epic fail of the week, which was the miraculous and amazing Monday night outing in San Diego with Peyton Manning and the Broncos. Did you watch that game, Kerry?
I have to admit, I'm an early to bed guy. It was the Broncos had just started coming back, and by the way, I had a tough week with our real and spectacular picks at CHFF Insider. And as you know, we have a great track record, but we had a rough week, and I had picked the Broncos to win and cover the spread. And when it was 24-0 at halftime, the Broncos losing, I got to admit, I was a little worried, but you can always count on Norv Turner to crumble in the clutch, and thankfully that happened once again.
Yeah, Norv Turner, the master of creating entertaining football along with Phillip Rivers. That was quite a meltdown, and that's not something that Peyton Manning is 4-2 on Monday nights, as John Gruden was eager to point out to everybody as well.
And by the way, I know you saw the story by Cold Hard Football Facts contributor Captain Comeback Scott Kazmaier, but not only did the Broncos come back in glorious style, but Peyton Manning set the all-time record for fourth-quarter comebacks. He was tied with Dan Marino, 36 career fourth-quarter comebacks. That was his 37th, a big story at Cold Hard Football Facts this week. And what else do you say about a guy when he has more fourth-quarter comebacks than any player in history? I think that's a pretty compelling case in praise of Peyton Manning.
Yeah, especially after he had a couple of roadblocks over the last month or so, and that was a nice jolt of reality for the rest of the pigskin nation.
But you know what? I mean, he's had some rough outings, but that's not a great team. That was not a great team last year, Pat. They're not a great defensive club. And I think they're doing pretty well at 3-3, like pretty much like everybody else in the AFC. So I'm not, you know, there is a legit playoff contender in the AFC as anybody else right now.
That is true. The AFC definitely following along the confines of a third-rate conference. Before we get into the icy issues, I also want to remind everybody that we're going to cover every game with our stat attack, and then Frankie C. is also going to join us in addition, and he is rivaled only by our featured guest this afternoon, of course, Dennis Lehane. He's the author of Mystic River and Gone Baby Gone, and also a huge Patriots fan, so there's just a couple of questions I would like to ask him about Bill Belichick on the big screen, if he were to ever go into that foray. And then speaking of the Patriots, Kevin Falk will also join us. And that's another one that's near and dear to the New England heart, Kerry.
Well, and just so folks know, if they haven't listened before, you are from San Francisco, Pat. So you have a particularly black...
San Francisco.
I mean, St. Louis. I don't know why I said San Francisco.
Well, St. Louis is playing San Francisco.
I think that's what I was just looking at our picks. But Pat is from St. Louis. I apologize. And so you have a particularly black, coal-like spot in your heart for Boston sports teams, and the Patriots in particular, and you know, obviously one of them being that, you know, Kevin Falk was a key contributor in the Patriots Super Bowl 36 win over the Rams. So I know that was one of many gut kick moments for you in your sad, was, pathetic life, Pat.
Yeah, that was by far the worst. And
was it really?
As far as football goes, yes. And regardless of all that, I still love, not love, but I am grateful for Mike Martz's presence in St. Louis, because he still did a lot of good things, even though he was a little crazy and maybe not, maybe a little too cuckoo for Coco Puffs on the head coaching front. But yeah, definitely a great offensive mind. Just a friendly reminder to everybody listening, you can call us, join in on the conversation at any point, 508-298-0398. You can also email the show, webradio@patriots.com. And Kerry will be Twittering all afternoon long. He'll be leading puddles of Twitter at on his Twitter destination, at Football Facts. You can also check us out on Facebook if you'd like.
Some people tweet, Pat, but I go above and beyond. I Twitter with reckless abandon. I still haven't gone blind. And I Twitter like no other man in America.
Yeah, you definitely have a going problem with the Twittering.
But thankfully, I have Joe Theismann to help me solve... problem.
You need that super beta prostate that Joe Theismann endorses.
By the way, what do you think? Let's just talk about that. Well, I mean, we didn't intend to talk about this, but Joe Theismann, I love the Redskins back in the day. He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback, a former MVP. Is it beneath him to be doing super beta prostate commercials all day during the football season?
Yeah, you know what? That's one of those things that kind of tarnishes. It's kind of like, on a very small scale, it's similar to Michael Jordan becoming an executive with the Washington Wizards. But if I was, if I had to pick, I'd probably rather fail as a sports owner or general manager than succeed as a beta prostate endorsement.
But it's all relative. It's like if you or I or our friend Frankie C were to reach the level where we could do super beta prostate commercials, that'd be the shining achievement of our lives.
That is actually a valid point.
Exactly. So, but for Joe Theismann, it seems like a step down. I don't know.
We're going to put that right next to the Play Like a Champion sign at CHFF headquarters. We're going to have a picture of a clean prostate that we're all going to
hit on the way out every morning before writing stories.
That's right. And as we talk, speaking of stories, that's a unprofessional transition right there, Kerry. the question of the week for the listeners, by the way, which of the Harbaugh brothers had the worst weekend this past week, John or Jim? Of course, the Ravens won, but they lost Ladarius Webb and Ray Lewis, and then the 49ers were humiliated. What's your take on that, Kerry, real quick?
If fans want to chime in on this, write to us at webradio@patriots.com or tweet us at Football Facts. Which Harbaugh brother had the worst week this week? And if you want my opinion, I don't offer opinions, Pat. I offer cold, hard football facts. And the reality is that Jim Harbaugh had the worst week. I mean, you know, at least John won the game. Granted, he won the game against America's dumbest team, the Dallas Cowboys.
He definitely succeeded in that, earning that moniker once again as well, with Dez Bryant's drops.
Well, it's not only that, but the way they mismanaged the clock at the end of the game, and you know, Dallas has been known as America's team, but they are America's dumbest team. We called them that 2 weeks ago at Cold Hard Football Facts, and they continue to live down to the hype, or the lack thereof, and they are America's dumbest team. But at least John Harbaugh won that game, however ugly it was. You know, Jim, I've had high hopes. I have San Francisco representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. And I did not have them winning big against the Giants. The Giants are the best big game team in football. I thought the Giants could put up a good fight, but I did not have the Giants dominating like they did 26-3. And so I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about winning and losing. So who was more upset at the end of the night, Jim Harbaugh or John Harbaugh? And despite the injuries for the Ravens, he won. Jim Harbaugh lost, and I think it was a bad week for the 49ers. And by the way, a big, big game tomorrow night, Thursday night, hosting the Seattle Seahawks in what's now the very sexy NFC West. So
it is sexy. I've got my NFC West centerfold calendar actually out on the wall right now. Let's dive into the icy issues.
All right.
Speaking of the Ravens, are they going to be able to recover? I say that they're not going to be able to recover from these injuries, and they're not going to make the playoffs. What say you?
The Ravens, will they recover from the injuries? The cold hard football fact is that they will not recover. They won't recover. It's not just that they had the injuries, Pat. They've been a bad defense this year. Let's run down some of the quality stats. 23rd in defensive passing yards per attempt. That's not a good number. 10th in defensive passer rating, a good number, but not a great number. Most concerningly, 20th on our defensive hog index. 23rd at rushing the passer. This is not a good this is a bottom half of the NFL defense, and now they've lost two of their marquee players defensively. Terrell Suggs still not going to be back for a few weeks. So the Ravens are in serious trouble. They were a little bit in trouble before, and now they're in serious trouble. So the cold hard football fact is that the Ravens will not recover from injuries, and it's possible but not likely that they will miss the playoffs.
So as far as the other Harbaugh brother, then, Jim Harbaugh in San Francisco, of course, you just mentioned the sexy NFC West. Is that a fact that the NFC West is the best division in football?
Right now, I mean, who do you put in front of the NFC West right now?
That's so weird to say.
How about this? How about this for a cold hard football fact? The NFC West has three teams with winning records. The entire AFC has two. Baltimore and Houston, a game we'll talk about in our stat attack. Baltimore and Houston meet this Sunday. They're the only two teams in the AFC with winning records. And the NFC West alone has three teams with winning records. It's definitely the NFC is a dominant conference right now.
And up is down and left is right.
Well, you know, it goes cyclical. You know what I mean? And now, decade after decade, the conferences switch who dominates, and right now the NFC has been on the ascendancy the last few years, and they're the dominant conference.
Okay, so sticking in the NFC then, here's another one. The Detroit Lions at 2-3 will win more games than the Minnesota Vikings.
That is not a cold hard football fact. The Vikings, I don't want to say they are for real in the fact that they're going to challenge for the Super Bowl. But Minnesota's not a bad team. They put up some nice numbers. Christian Pond has played well. I'm not sold on them as a Super Bowl contender, but they're not a bad team. And the Detroit Lions right now are a bad team. I think we had a lot of high hopes for them after their 10-6 record last year, but they're going nowhere fast. They are quickly, Jim Schwartz's, Lions are quickly regressing. And if you look at, by the way, they play at Chicago on Monday Night Football. Jim Schwartz's 49, Lions are 2-5-2 against the spread. On the road, in the division, and 1-8 straight up. This is going to be a tough game for them. They could be 2-4 by the end of Monday night.
Your fourth icy issue, Mike Shanahan, head coach of the Washington Redskins, will be able to take credit for producing two 1,000-yard rushers at season's end when RG3 and Alfred Morris both eclipse the number. Is that a fact?
I do not think that is a cold, hard football fact. Primarily, quarterbacks, it's very rare for a quarterback to rush for 1,000 yards. As great as RG3 looked against the Vikings on Sunday, I think he will take a step back. I don't see that team being one that will – I don't see him being a player that will put up huge, huge numbers rushing the football over the course of the long haul. But more impressively right now, do you know who number six is in offensive passer rating in the NFL? It's RG3 and the Washington Redskins. He's passing the football at an elite level, and that's much more important than his rushing capabilities.
Fair enough. Okay. Your last icy issue, the New England Patriots will fail to win a playoff game thanks to their pass defense.
That is, in fact, a cold, hard football fact, and I know we're going to talk about the Patriots quite a bit later in the show. But I got to tell you, Pat, right now, 100.9 defensive passer rating. And if fans don't know what defensive passer rating is, it's one of the most important stats in football. It's a formula for quarterbacks applied to pass defense. And if you have a bad defensive passer rating, you lose a lot of games. You have a great defensive passer rating, you win a lot of games. Right now at 100.9, only seven teams in NFL history finished worse than that in defensive passer rating, some of the worst teams in football history, including the 0-16 Lions, by the way, of 2008, who had the single worst defensive passer rating in history. The Patriots are doing nothing right now in the postseason without dramatic improvements in that pass defense.
So do you see that changing at all? I mean, just from what you've seen on the field?
No,
numbers aside. I mean, is there any hope for...
No, the numbers exist for a reason, Pat. The reason we look at the numbers we look at is because they correlate to victory. You can do things with the eye test, but at the end of the day, people do the eye test with anecdotes. I remember singular anecdotes. And in reality, the numbers are what matters. There are certain indicators that if you do well in, you win a lot of games and win championships. You know, only four teams in NFL history won a championship with a defensive pass rating worse than 80. The Patriots are over 100 right now, and not only that, the numbers are bad, but the eye test is bad. That game-winning touchdown that Russell Wilson threw on Sunday, I mean, There were two rookie safeties trying to chase down the receiver, and none of them could keep up with them. They I don't know if the Patriots have the talent. I don't know if they have the right schemes. I don't know what it is, but at the end of the day, the numbers are bad, and I don't see them recovering anytime soon defensively.
Yeah, as it stands right now, the Patriots, through six games, mind you, so there's still, you know, a large chunk of the season to go, but they've got their defensive pass rating. I mean, it's the worst in franchise history if it were to play out this way. And you look at the records of the previous teams. We look at the 1972 Patriots. They were 3-11. They gave up a pass rating of 92.2. 1989, the Patriots went 5-11.
Yep.
They had a 91.6 DPR. Then in 95 and 90, 6-10, 1-15, 91.4, 89.9. Those aren't just high numbers for. I mean, that's over the course of a season, and these are teams that were historically, you know, really bad New England.
Yeah, I know, and I'm looking at the bottom four before this year and just adding them up in my head. They won 15 games, and they lost 47.
That's crazy.
I mean, those are bad.
That's St. Louis Rams numbers from the previous five seasons.
Which Rams number?
I said those are St. Louis Rams numbers from the previous five seasons, 15 and 65.
Yeah, I know. And how many games did they win? I mean, they were one of those teams that didn't pass the ball well and didn't play well on pass defense. And right now, you know, I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news, but it's like Groundhog Day around here. We've been talking about it for years. If you don't have a good pass defense, you don't compete in the postseason. The greatest pass defense in Patriots history was the 2003 Patriots, a 56.2 defensive pass rating. That's an awesome number. And that team went on to win over the next 2 years more games than any team over 2 years in the history of football. They went 34-4, and we're not seeing that. And I think actually around here in New England, you know, the Patriots have a decent game like they did in week one, for example. And people say, oh, the defense is there, it's back, but it's not. And it's almost, if you're a New England fan, it's very discouraging that they haven't found the solution to this problem all these years, especially this year with the first six draft picks devoted to defense.
Well, this week the Patriots will be taking on the New York Jets. How do you see that playing out as far as both on the defensive, from the defensive passer rating standpoint with the secondary, but with the end result? I mean, the Jets just scored another. They had their second outlier of the season against who were they just playing?
Who did this play? The Jets?
Yeah,
they just beat up the Colts.
That's right. So the Jets have beat up the Colts and the Bills, and in those two games it looked like they were world beaters on the ground, but they're going up against New England with a shaky pass defense. So is Mark Sanchez going to actually be able to exploit this?
No, I mean, he's not. I mean, he's not a good passer. They still, you know, that's a bad team. I think the Jets are a bad team that have found a way to win a couple games. The Patriots are a good team that are just not good enough. I mean, at the end of the day, the Patriots are a better team. And one way we judge this, Pat, our relativity index, and that measures how well you do relative to the quality of your competition. The Patriots are plus 9 points in that game. In general, even though they're 3-3, they're plus 9 points better than their competition, how they perform otherwise. The Jets are minus. They're negative in that category, -1 in the bottom half of the league. The Patriots are still a top 10 team in that indicator. The Patriots still have an elite quarterback. The Jets don't. I mean, the Patriots are still a better team. There's a reason the Patriots have had a better record every year since 2003. And by the way, tied with the same record at 9-7 in 2002. The Patriots have a better quarterback, and they always have, and that's a key differentiator at the end of the day. But with that said, it's going to be a tough game. I mean, it's going to be a tough game here at Gillette, and I just think at the end of the day, you know, the Patriots are not, the Jets are not as good. You know, Seattle's a great team at home, has a really good defense, and we saw that this week. The Jets are not at that level yet on either side of the ball, I don't think.
So are you telling me that it's a bad time for Wes Welker to make a joke to Bill Belichick?
He didn't make another joke since I got here, did he?
I don't think so.
Okay. Hey, but you know what? How did he respond from that? You know, there's been so much made of that here in New England, and I personally don't like the soap opera. People get caught up in the soap opera of everything. But at the end of the day, Wes Welker is still a key member of this team, and he had another, you know, he had a pretty darn good game against the Seahawks this week too, by the way. It's not like he's been shit. I mean, he caught 10 passes, 138 yards, one touchdown. That's a typical banner Wes Welker day. So I'm not too worried about Welker. I'm not worried about the passing offense in New England. I am worried about the offense in the clutch. We saw that again in a key situation. The offense couldn't get a first down But overall, that offense is still, you know, still number one in scoring, Pat. There's no need to worry about the offense in New England. It's all about the pass defense, and I've been saying it for years. And any fan who disagrees, who isn't on board with that, is wrong. It's simple as that. It's all about improving that pass defense, and nothing's going to change in New England until they do that.
So it's the failure to close out games, and if anybody could shed some light on that topic, I would assume Kevin Faulk would be privy to the stylings of Mr. Bill Belichick. So when we come back, you're going to sit down with Kevin Faulk and chat with him. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm very excited. We've had a lot of great Patriots guests, and we've had some great Patriots of the past, Troy Brown, Drew Bledsoe, and coming up shortly, we'll be talking to Kevin Faulk.
Sounds good. We'll see everybody on the other side of the break. Thanks for listening.
Cold, hard football facts on Patriots.com. The truth hurts.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Cold Hard Football Facts on Patriots.com. I'm Kerry J. Byrne, and I am very excited to be joined right now by now former but longtime Patriots great Kevin Faulk. Kevin, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Terry. How you doing?
Doing well, doing well. Well, listen, we appreciate you joining us. And before we dive into the Patriots and your career here, can I relay a great Kevin Fox story to you before your time at New England?
Oh, no doubt.
Well,
why not?
I was in 1997. I was at Penn State to watch number 2 Penn State play Ohio State. I figured Ohio State was like the number 4 team in the country. It was October 1997. I believe you were a junior at LSU at the time. Does that sound right?
Right.
And after the game, number 2 Penn State won. We all went to the bars in downtown State College, Pennsylvania, to watch LSU play number 1 Florida. And that night, you and the LSU Tigers upset number 1 Florida. And after that game, Kevin, I got to tell you, all the fans at Penn State knew that now the Nittany Lions were the number 1 team in the country and stormed the field at Beaver Stadium because you and your LSU Tigers had beaten Florida. And by the way, that week you were on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I don't know if you remember that, but.
Oh, yeah, I'm still getting those this time, but wow, what a connection, huh?
Yeah, no, it was great. Honestly, it was one of the great. I've been fortunate enough to be at a lot of Super Bowls, see many of your games, and have a lot of great football experiences. But that night, honestly, was like a great college football experience. And I still have the Sports Illustrated at home of you on the cover, you know, charging through the middle of the Florida defense on the cover of Sports Illustrated. So
right.
A pretty great game, Kevin. And, of course, you went on to great things with New England. Let me ask you, I know it had to be a tough decision, Kevin, but how tough was it finally after such a great career to say, hey, man, I gotta go do the next thing? I mean, what goes through your mind when you're making that decision?
Well, it is tough, but once you get to that point, and then God has blessed you to be able to play as long as I have played, you kind of know that that time is near.
Yeah.
And, you know, you kind of know that decision is going to have to be made. The tough part is about this. You know, letting it go yourself, and I think that's what I want to do. That's why I want to just announce it and just put it out there, that, you know, for myself as well as anybody else.
Well, I got to admit, you know, I think a lot of Patriots fans admire you. You know, you obviously were one of those kind of foundation guys, Kevin, who did a lot of different things. You know, there was something that came about, you know, not too far into your career that we now know is the Patriot way. And was there a time, you got here in the late 80s, you got here in, what, 99, I believe,
right.
Was there a time where that changed, or was that Patriot way already instituted when you got here with Pete Carroll coach and the new ownership? Was there a time where that changed in your career at all?
You know, that's kind of funny you said that. It's kind of funny that, you know, it's called a Patriot way. I think it's a situation that just came about, and I think somebody might have just named it.
Fair enough. Okay.
I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
Being honest.
Yeah.
All it is. The Patriot way is guys coming to New England Patriots, in which at that point in time, it was a lot of older guys that was coming to New England that had been in the league already, that knew their way around, knew what to expect during the course of NFL games, but never had that taste of winning.
Yep.
So winning to them was all they wanted to do, was just win football games. So no matter what they had to do, they was going to do that, no matter if that meant doing the total opposite of who they were before. And that's all that was. Winning was the main thing. And that's what winning does for you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, winning makes everything better. It makes everything taste better, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. No doubt.
So you were famous, Kevin. I think your most famous trait was your third down ability, to the point that some folks, some analysts said you might be the best third down back in football and maybe of all time. Was there a particular reason you seemed to excel in those situations, or was it just your versatility, or what did you what made you so successful in those situations?
A lot of different things. Situations, quarterback.
Yeah.
Being able to read defenses, I can catch real well. And one of the things that I didn't do real well when I first got here, and that was pick up the blitz. I think that was the main thing.
Yeah.
Protecting the quarterback, understanding that was your job. The running back position pretty much was the guy that took care of everything on the back end. That is, for offensive line, might have made a mistake, we had to cover up. So that was our job.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite? Was there a favorite moment at all, a favorite situation, or a favorite game where, you know, you felt you played a particularly pivotal role in a big game? The situation that comes to mind for me was the 2-point conversion against the Panthers in the Super Bowl. But obviously, you were there for all of them. Were there a couple moments where you felt your skill set kind of really helped the Patriots win a couple key games?
There's a lot of them. A lot of them, and I'm not saying that like in a sense of being conceited or anything, but in a sense of team-wise, a lot of moments that we've had. But there's one individual moment I know that I think about a lot, and that was the 2007 season, last game of the season. I'm not quite sure the down and distance, but it was pretty, you know, further than 6 yards, and I ran a rod and ran across the middle and caught the pass and, you know, got the first down, and it was a tough catch against, you know, tight man coverage, but I made a tough catch and got the first down, so that was one, you know, to keep the drive going.
And was this a Giants game, the last game of 2007?
Yes.
So what was it like after that game, by the way? I mean, you know, as a fan, as a football fan, not even here in New England, but that game was, I think that's the only game in NFL history that was on three different networks. It was such a historic moment in the history of the NFL. Were you guys after the game? Was it a particularly great celebration as a first 16-0 game, or was it more workmanlike, like we still have three games to win? What was that moment like after that, literally a historic moment in the annals of NFL football?
Man, we were coached by Bill Belichick. There was no celebration.
Fair enough.
There was no celebration. It was like, congratulations. You did something special tonight.
Yep.
But this is not where we want to end up. Our journey is further down the line.
Yep.
Let's move on.
Yep.
That's it.
Did anything – did you guys were – and actually, we chronicle all the numbers of Cold Hard Football Facts. The 2007 Patriots were the most dominant – NFL team since World War II. The only team in history to score more 300 more points than you gave up. You scored 589 points that year. Gave up 274, but ultimately, I mean, as you know as well as anyone, you didn't win the Super Bowl. Did anything in particular happen? Was it just that you couldn't keep up the pace? What happened there at the end? Well, was there anything, Kevin?
Well, they played better than us.
Yeah, okay.
They wanted it more than us. Yep. So you can't take nothing away from the New York Giants. You know, just for, you know, the way their coach, Tom Coughlin, coached the team, the way the team comes out and plays the game, you know they're very passionate. Just comes out playing hard 60 minutes of the game.
Now, what about a particular game? I mean, you won three Super Bowls. We talked about a particular moment. Was there a particular game? I would assume, as a guy who never played football beyond high school, that first Super Bowl had to be a particularly special moment. But, you know, what was your take? Was one sweeter than the other? Was there a particular moment where...
Man, that goes back to what I told you, man. There's so many moments, so many memories. That first one, yes, was very special because I actually won a state championship on that same field. So that was kind of special as well. But I've been asked this question so much.
I'm sure.
Over the past week, it was been the most favorable memory. And on Thursday, I realized my most favorable memory has been my whole career, actually.
Yeah.
For the simple fact is, when it's all said and done, I can possibly sit down and say I played – possibly with one of the best NFL quarterbacks ever to play the game of football. How many people can say that?
Yeah, and you know, when Tom Brady came in, that team kind of changed on a dime. I mean, just everything. What did he bring to the table, Kevin? That Drew Bledsoe was a very good NFL quarterback, but and we had him on the show last week. I mean, I think he's very much respected and revered still here in the Boston area, but things were different. The reality is things were different with Tom Brady. What changed? Was there anything in particular? Was it? I mean, he's not the biggest arm guy. Was it mental? Was it a skill set? Was it leadership? What changed when he came in that allowed you guys to win three Super Bowls in 4 years?
I wish I can really give you that direct answer. But when he first came in, you would look at him and be like, whatever.
You know, there's that famous photo of him at the combine, right, where he has no muscle on his body.
Exactly. But then you start to pay attention. You start to see his skill set. You start to see him on the practice field and how he handles himself and how he handles, you know, teams.
Yeah.
And you start to think about, wow, okay, this can work. And then when you see him in the game situation and how his preparation is, you start to understand and you know. And then from being with him so long and understanding how he prepares and how passionate he is about the game of football, there's no question that he is who he is right now.
Yeah. Now, you said you won when you won the Super Bowl at the Superdome in in New Orleans in Super Bowl 36. And you said you won a state championship there because you were from Lafayette, Louisiana, if I remember correctly, right?
Well, I'm from a little small town called Carenco, but it's right outside of Lafayette.
Okay. Is there a singer named Mark Broussard from Carenco?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Do you know him at all?
Yes, I do. Mark almost sang at my wedding.
Oh, really? No kidding. I just know he has a great song called Home, which I believe is a song about your hometown. Do you know that song?
Right. Exactly.
No kidding.
My sister went to school with Mark.
No kidding. So he must be younger than you, I assume, is he?
Yes, he is.
No
yes.
kidding. So what's that like? Is it just a small town? Or?
Yeah, it's a small town. We probably got about 10,000 people now.
No kidding. So are you back there now? Are you back in Louisiana?
No, I'm in Mass. I'm in Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right. I don't know if you settled here or not. Or what's in the future, Kevin? What do you got going on now? What are you looking forward to doing now that your playing career is over?
I'm playing it by ear. You never know what can happen.
Okay.
Right now, I'm doing the TV and the radio thing right now. It's fun keeping me into the game, keeping me busy. But I'm, like I told a lot of other people, I think I'm going to be a lot closer to the action in due time. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, beautiful. Well, Kevin, I appreciate your time. And if you're ever back in your hometown, tell Mark Broussard, he's got fans up here in Boston. I'm a fan of yours. And I know I speak for a lot of people here in New England that are fans of Kevin Fox. And we appreciate your time, Kevin.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Thank you. Good luck, Kevin.
All right.
So, Pat, what do you think of Kevin as a guy who was victimized by Kevin Falk and the Patriots as a Rams fan in Super Bowl 36? Pat, I think we lost Pat. So
no, I'm here.
Okay,
I got cut off for a second.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
So you were asking me what would I think of Kevin Falk?
Yeah, you're not a fan, I think, because being a Rams fan.
No. I've got respect. I've always had respect for the Patriots because they win.
Yeah.
So. There's a lot of people in St. Louis, and I'm not throwing I love my hometown city. I'm not throwing the city under the bus. Plus, no one's listening right now. The Cardinals are in playoff mode right now on TV. So I'm probably the only person in St. Louis connected to this show at this point. But you can't deny what the Patriots have done and Falk and Brady both, to me, are the like prototypical New England Patriots under Bill Belichick. So you've got, you know, they just excelled at whatever role, and they accomplished whatever role was given to them and thrust upon them, just because, and he said it too, because it was for the benefit of the team. So I've never really, with the whole, you know, all the rumors and everything and all the videotaping and everything, it's like, you know what, the Patriots went out and they won, and they were a dynasty for, you know what, a good 4 or 5 years in the first half of the century. So, or the first 5 years of the century, I should say, first half of the decade.
Yeah, and you know what? I forgot to ask. It was one question I should have asked. What did Bill Belichick say to get them to believe that they can beat the Rams? And I should have asked him that. And you know, because that was kind of obviously a transitional game, not just in the history of the Patriots, but
yeah, that was a historic. That was kind of a changing of the guard moment.
Yeah,
it was such a big upset that no one even called it that at the time, because it was just ridiculous that the Patriots went in there and pretty much slowed down the greatest passing offense up to that point, the greatest passing offense of our time. And yeah, so. There was a lot of historical ramifications coming out of that. But
you know what, though, Pat? In Super Bowls, there's so much emotion. There's so many people who aren't football fans following the Super Bowl. The Patriots, what were they, 14-point underdogs in that game?
Yes.
That was a ridiculous point spread. I mean, the Patriots played them toe-to-toe. I think they lost by 4 or 7 points here at the old Foxborough Stadium that season and put up a good fight. There was no reason for that. There was no reason for people to think the Rams would beat them by 2 touchdowns. That team was third in defensive passer rating that year. We talk about this all the time. The Patriots were. They were a very good pass defense. That 14-point spread was more part of Super Bowl hype than it really was a part of any legitimate reason to think the Rams should run up the score by 2 or more touchdowns.
So what you're telling me is that if the Cold Hard Football Facts existed in 2002, February 2002, you would have had a much different outlook on the point spread, or at least the outcome on the spread.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, that was a very tight statistical battle. And by the way, you know, the Patriots, I think the Patriots and Rams gave up the same number of points that year. Obviously, the Rams are a much better offense, but that was a pretty good Patriots team and with a really good defense. And I don't know, man. I think it's kind of like, there's always, And I think there was a period before then, too, where there were all these Super Bowl blowouts. I think that was the first close Super Bowl in a long time. I think people got used to one team blowing out the other. But the Patriots, they were not a great team that year. They were a good team with a rising clutch quarterback and a very good defense, and they were able to go toe-to-toe and you know, get that pick six, by the way, which changed everything. Kurt Warner, the only quarterback, as much as you and I talk about this all the time, Kurt Warner belongs in the Hall of Fame, but he's also the only quarterback to throw a pick six in two different Super Bowls. He did it against the Patriots, and he did it against the Steelers when he was with the Cardinals in the 2008 Super Bowl. And, you know, nobody's ever thrown a pick six and won a Super Bowl. That game was statistically over at that point.
Yeah, and that was kind of for the Rams. I mean, that literally – I almost said literally. That's what Joe Bucks has a lot. That did shut the proverbial door, though, on the greatest show on turf becoming – a dynasty, because what you had the following year was a 7-9 season. March was kind of under fire because things weren't going well. Kurt Warner was injured. That was when Mark Bulger came in. They started out 0-4. Bulger came in, let him do a 4-5 record over the next several games. And Warner's stay, of course, ended the following offseason because he went to New York, and then he had to battle with Eli Manning like he did with Mark Bulger. And the Rams in 03, you know, they recovered. They went 12-4, but that was like kind of like their last gasp of air with the chance to be a dynasty. And I have, if Rams fans wanted to point the finger, they can look no further than Mr. Bill Belichick, who, if you, Kerry, can, you know, get me set up with Belichick here in the next few weeks as part of my year-end bonus. I mean,
you know what I'm telling
great.
Kevin right now? Kevin, you get on Belichick, the Belichick interview, okay? He's all over it. He's shaking Belichick's his head, yes, I'm going to do it. He's nodding. I can get Belichick. I can
it
see
is what it is.
People in New England and St. Louis don't realize that Belichick and I have a lot in common. We both sleep several hours a day.
This should be good.
We both wear hoodies. We both wear hooded sweatshirts. I'm not afraid to cut the sleeves off my hoodie if I feel like wearing a hoodie, even if it's 80 degrees and humid here in St. Louis.
So ridiculous.
That's three things right there, and I like football, just like he does.
You know what Belichick's greatest contribution to society is? The phrase, it is what it is. I don't think that was in the public lexicon until he started saying it. Maybe it's a Boston thing, but everyone in Boston says it all the time. I say it five times a day. It is what it is.
Yeah, I think he's comedy gold. Personally, I'm a fan of very dry comedy, and I think the way that he handles the media is outstanding. And you know,
he is the Melba toast of dry comedy, Pat. Let me tell you,
he's outstanding.
He is the rice cake of dry comedy.
The fact that his hair is the same as my dad's hair, and my dad's 65, and I love that about him too.
I'm not really into solving the world's problems.
Fair enough. So I think we're going to cut the break, Pat. I think we're going to jump to a break. And
give me Belichick, Kerry. I'm not coming back next week.
I'm going to work on it during the break. And Kevin vowed, I just heard him vow to get you Belichick by the next segment.
Tell Belichick, Emick wants to talk to him in St. Louis.
All right, folks, we'll talk to you on the other side here.
Then that's when they smoke it.
The cold, hard football facts. Crushing wayward opinions since 1869.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank of AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Epic fail. When things can't get any worse, they do.
Rivers, deep drop, loading up. There's the shot downfield for Gates, who comes over the safety's head, and it's taken away by Jim Leonard.
Now what's it rule?
Failure.
Gets the snap away, and Manning fires. End zone shot. Stokely went up and caught it for a touchdown. What a catch.
Epic fail.
Rivers going left, and it's intercepted by Chris Harris, who's all the way home. What a comeback for the Broncos.
They got up in the grill of these Charger receivers and said, beat us. Phillip Rivers is dropping back the pass. It's a man-to-man situation. I just think you got to throw that football away and live for another.
Epic fail.
Chargers football is brought to you by Failure. When you need an epic failure, call Norm Turner and Phillip Rivers. Chargers football. Losing has never been so entertaining.
That is right. It is the most entertaining brand of losing football in the world. San Diego Chargers. We're back here on the Cold Hard Football Facts Show. Patrick Emick along with
yourself, San Diego.
Was that Ron yourself, Burgundy?
It was Ron Burgundy. Yeah, cleverly timed by producer Kevin Collins.
Well, that's also Kevin's way of saying that he's also with us, the global phenomenon in production online radio. Kevin Collins helping us out. And Kerry, what was your reaction when you woke up? I know you mentioned earlier that you go to bed after eating the Blue Plate Special at IHOP at 5 p.m. You go to bed and usually miss the second half of Monday night. Since you missed the second half and woke up and saw What happened? What was your initial reaction?
Well, you know, the interesting thing that ties into the San Diego Chargers being the epic fail team, the epitome of failure, is that I wasn't surprised, Pat. I was not. It didn't shock me. It really didn't shock me. I was not. I expected all along. I picked the Broncos to win. They were a slight underdog on the road. Picked the Broncos to win. They were the better team. But even down, San Diego has such a rich history of losing in such spectacular and creative fashion that I really wasn't surprised. And I think that's the most damning part about the Chargers organization. And let's not forget, the reason North Turner is the coach is because of one of the great epic failures in history. The 2006 San Diego Chargers, the best team in franchise history, 14-2, LaDainian Tomlinson at the height of his career, Philip Rivers playing well, probably the best team in football that year, scored more.
Sean Merriman and Phillips, just
Sean
throwing quarterbacks. That team on blitzes, yeah, all year long. Yeah, that was a dominant team.
That was a dominant team. They scored more points than any team in Chargers history. They had the greatest scoring differential of any team in Chargers history. Had the best record of any team in Chargers history. And do you know how many playoff games they won, Pat?
Zero.
They won zero. They lost at home to
the Patriots.
The Patriots, 24-21. We had Troy Brown on us a couple weeks ago, remember? And he's the one who, when the game was over, Tom Brady had thrown an interception. Troy Brown stole the ball back and saved the Patriots' season. It was indicative of the colossal failure of the San Diego Chargers. And by the way, that was the end of the Marty Schottenheimer era. That's when they brought in North Turner, who did not have a sterling record himself in his history. And we've seen it again. I mean, this team. I mean, he's had one good team. He went 13-3 in 2009. I don't know how North Turner. I mean, he's like, two things are going to survive after the nuclear war: cockroaches and North Turner.
How long have you been practicing that?
No, I've used it in other situations, but I thought that was well timed, well placed, Pat. You know. But
yeah, when you were just talking about setting that up, talking about the Patriots beating the most dominant Chargers team, that made me think, wow, the New England Patriots have a way of being scrappy and defeating 14-2 teams, because that was the case with the Super Bowl that we were talking about earlier with the Rams too. They were 14-2, and I would argue, just real quick, because I was thinking about it during that segment as well, that Rams team that lost to the Patriots, in my opinion, was much better than the Rams that won the Super Bowl in 1999. I don't know how you feel.
You know what? I don't know if I agree with that. They may have been better, but much better, I think, is pretty strong. I don't know about that, but I can tell you this: in the case of the Patriots, this is the difference, okay, between the 2001 to 2006 Patriots, okay, and the team since 2007. Those early Patriots beat tough teams and beat them consistently. Let me throw out some cold hard football facts for you, okay?
Okay.
The greatest team in NFL history against quality opponents, this is something we track every week, every year at Cold Hard Football Facts. We track how you do against teams with winning records. The best team in history against quality opponents was the 2003 Patriots, went 10-0 against teams with winning records.
10-0.
The second best team in NFL history were the 2004 Patriots, went 10-1. 20-1 over a 2-year span against teams with winning records. Nobody's ever, ever, ever beat teams with winning records so consistently. It's tough to do in the NFL. That was a tough, tough team that beat tough teams and found a way to win. Only one other team in NFL history has beat 10 quality opponents in the space of one season. The dynastic 1979 Steelers went 10-3. Against quality opponents, the fourth Super Bowl in 6 years. That's rare company we're talking. And in recent years, the Patriots, they have not beat a team with a winning record. I believe they're 0-3 this year. They were 0-2 last year. You have to go back to 2010 to find a quality win in the regular season for the Patriots. They're not the tough, mentally tough team they were when they beat the Rams in 2001, when they beat the great Colts teams with Peyton Manning in 03 and 04, when they beat the Chargers in the playoffs in 2006, when they beat the 15-1, went into Heinz Field and beat the 15-1 Steelers in the 2004 AFC title game. I mean, no team has ever won against quality competition, and that is not here anymore. That mental toughness and physical toughness has not been here probably since 2006, Pat, and we didn't plan to talk about that. Sorry for the rant, but that's a statistical reality of the history of this organization.
Well, Terry, you don't have to apologize or justify yourself, because when you eat, sleep, and breathe ice cold ass kicking facts. It's only natural that when you need to relieve yourself and just vomit it all, everywhere, you just spew it out.
It was all pent up. Some people cheat on their wives and buy a Corvette. I spit out mountains of cold hard football facts.
The fountain of gridiron information, the potentate of pigskin, which reminds me, ladies and gentlemen listening, we're still willing to take any questions or comments. You can email Kevin and the Cold Hard Football Facts Show at webradio@patriots.com. You can also drop a puddle of Twitter on Kerry at Football Facts, and the Ace Ticket Hotline open as well. Frankie C., I believe, will be coming up next segment. Is that right?
Yeah, we're going to have Frankie C. after the break. But do we want to dive into a stat attack here? Do we got time? Or?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. Stat attack, of course, where we go through every game and try to give you a cold, hard football fact that you otherwise wouldn't hear. We'll start, Kerry, with Thursday night. A pretty big, we talked about this at the top of the show, a pretty big matchup between the Seattle Seahawks and San Francisco 49ers. Probably the biggest surprise to start before kickoff, both teams 4-2.
Yeah, well, we talked about it. The NFC West, three teams with winning records. The entire AFC, two teams with winning records. My one concern for the 49ers, okay, they are 0-2. We just talked about the Patriots' history against quality opponents. They are 0-2. The Patriots haven't won a game against a quality opponent since 2010. The 49ers this year 0-2, and not only that, they've been outscored 50-16, Pat. I like the 49ers. I think they're a really good team. I like what Jim Harbaugh has done, but in two games this year against quality opponents, they've been outscored 50-16. I think that's going to be a little concern. They're a big 7-point favorite. I'm very worried about that number. As you know, we do all our real and spectacular picks at Cold Hard Football Facts Insider. By the way, you can get a 1-week trial. If you go to Cold Hard Football Facts, click the Insider button, get a 1-week trial, kick the tires on Insider for free. But this is where we hide all the juicy details, all the great stats. And right now, that's one big concern if I'm a 49ers fan, that they have not, that they've looked bad against the two teams they played with winning records.
Yeah, and unrelated to that, I heard the words real and spectacular, and then I see a picture of Katy Perry and her voluptuous bosom staring at me. So that's another reason to go on and test out the 1-week insider trial if you're not already a premium subscriber.
By the way, here's the first line of our real and spectacular picks this week. There's no two ways about it. We got whacked in week six like Paulie Gatto in the front seat of the Clemenza family Studebaker.
Fair
so
enough.
If you're a Godfather fan, you know what that means. So we tie in a lot of stuff. And the history of the real and spectacular picks, Pat, is that, do you remember the old, are you old enough to remember the old Seinfeld episode with,
Yeah.
Yeah, I
wasn't born in the 50s.
Oh, boy, won't see him no more.
But about, and I just forgot the actress's name, who was our pigskin prognosticator muse for years.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
No. The woman with the real and spectacular bosoms.
Oh, was that Terry Hatcher?
Terry Hatcher! Oh, my God, I can't believe I forgot. She was our... So what happened is we put up a picture of her as our pigskin prognosticating muse, and after a great run of success for our picks, we talked about how our picks are real, and they're spectacular, much like her bosoms. So ever since then, we've always had a very well-endowed female inspirational muse to guide our picks, along with 20 different quality stats.
That's right. The quality stats, they're that along with the quality bosom, the 21 ingredients in the Cold Hard Football Facts secret recipe, much like Colonel Sanders. Colonel Sanders has 11 for KFC. We got 21.
Hey, by the way, I have what is alleged to be the secret recipe for Colonel Sanders fried chicken.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm going to share that on Cold Hard Football Facts in our tailgate section one of these days.
Are you going to get sued?
Well, I could just say it's a secret recipe for a chicken chain that...
Fair enough.
I don't know, but I don't know if it is, but it's...
Say nothing more, because I want to know what it was. Besides salt and pepper, I want to know what the other ingredients are.
All right, we can share that.
Your next game on our stat attack, Arizona-Minnesota. That's kind of an intriguing matchup as well, 2-4-2 teams.
Yeah, Arizona's come a long way in their passing game with Christian Ponder, but underrated... The improvements in their pass defense, it was the second worst pass defense in NFL history last year, based upon defensive passer rating. They're 22 points better this year. And number four in defensive passing yards per attempt, they represent a tough matchup for struggling Kevin Kolb.
Okay, what about, so who do you actually like in that? I guess you're going to go Vikings then. You've kind of been on the Ponder and Vikings bandwagon. Not as far as them being a Super Bowl powerhouse, but you definitely...
Well, you know what? I got to admit, I haven't done my real and spectacular pick for this game at Cold Hard Insider yet. But I right now, just looking at the numbers, sizing them up, the Vikings are the better team, and I'd be surprised if they don't win, but I don't know how big they're going to win.
Okay, how about the battle This is a key AFC battle, really the only marquee AFC battle. The two 5-1 yep. teams, the two teams in the AFC with winning records as well.
Isn't that amazing?
It's just I have trouble saying it. I stumbled over it because I'm thinking back to the opening of the show where you're telling me the NFC West has three winning teams. There are only two in the AFC. These are it, the Ravens, now with the injuries, and the Texans coming off. Well, they've got mental injuries coming off that beating at the hands of the Packers and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and you know, Pat, the Cold Hard Football Facts have been high on the Texans all year. We picked them to win the Super Bowl. They were number one in our quality stats power rankings last year. They were number one this year the whole season. And then that unexpected beatdown, I mean, a dramatic beatdown, such a great defense. And Aaron Rodgers, the number six quarterback in history. Only five guys have done it before him. Quarterbacks in history with 300 yards passing, six touchdowns, and zero interceptions in one game. Only five guys have done it before him. And by the way, Tom Brady did it twice. He only got to do it twice. So I'm a little concerned. I had high hopes for that Houston team, and now I don't. And by the way, we chronicled in my column in Sports Illustrated this week how bad that Houston defense is. It looks now. They look Super Bowl caliber, but they dropped from number 2 to number 14 in defensive passer rating in the space of one game. That's a huge concern.
You know, and the first thing that popped into my head, knowing full well that he's not a safety or a cornerback, is the fact that Brian Cushing wasn't playing. I mean, is that really that big of an impact on the Texans, or was it more that they had a cakewalk schedule up until they met Green Bay, and Green Bay was pretty much on a mission after blowing that game to Indy? I guess it's probably, if you could say, it's a combination of all those things, really.
Yeah, I don't think any team should suffer badly from the loss of one individual defender. Remember, the Texans last year played a bunch of games. What was it? Five games, I think, without Mario Williams. We now know, and the Cold Hard Football Facts knew before, that he wasn't a great defender. I don't think any one defender should have that much of a material impact. At least a linebacker should, and maybe a shutdown corner, as Cushing had. I think it was a team in Houston looking a little fat and happy, and Green Bay being a little hungrier and having a great quarterback who broke out of his shell. And I think Houston has the talent to rebound. Do they have the mental fortitude to rebound? We'll find out against Baltimore.
And our last game before we had the break, and on the flip side of the break, everybody listening, we'll have Dennis Lehan will be here. He's the author of Mystic River and Gone Baby Gone. But before we get to that, the Browns and Colts, this is one of those games that AFC would rather not show and display that for themselves.
You know, the the Colts were looking. I had a little inkling that maybe they could do something good, and then they got blown out by the Jets. They're right now one of the worst teams in football, 27th on our Relativity Index, 29th in our Quality Stats Power Rankings. Probably the only game all year where Cleveland will be better statistically than their opponent on almost every level. So right now, I think this is a game that Cleveland, if they're going to get a win streak going, win two in a row, this is the game to do it.
Good enough. We'll be back in a few minutes here. Don't go anywhere. I believe Frankie C. is actually on deck, and he's on the on-deck circle. I said Dennis Lehane, the author. We'll get to him in 20 minutes after that, but come back. Frankie C. is going to join us, and we will see you guys on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere.
Cold, hard football facts on Patriots.com. The truth hurts.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Pfft, rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
It is now time for the Frankie C. Report with America's number one purveyor of Tom Brady pajamas, Frankie C.
Well, Frankie C., we know you've hit the big time. You normally have your song, you got your intro quote. I know there's a name for it in the radio world, and I don't know it off the top of my head, but that's quite big time for a guy who still coddles himself in his Tom Brady pajamas. I'm very proud of you, Frankie C.
Oh, that's not the least of what's good for me lately. I woke up this morning and looked in the mirror, and I was amazed at how handsome I was.
You know, I'm always afraid when you come on that you say something that embarrasses yourself or me, and yet you haven't done it yet, Frank.
Well, I'm working on it. I'm coming up with something.
I thought you were going to do it right there, and I'm glad it's only how handsome you are. Well, you know what I this is what I posted on Facebook today is that I think they should chisel my manly visage in the side of a mountain, you know, and call it Mount Studmore. I'm sure I'm the only one who thinks that.
I'm pretty sure you are the only one that thinks
although
that.
Although I did have a like from Deirdre Fay of Quincy, Massachusetts. So,
ooh.
Deirdre, you're looking good, girl.
Talk about lovely.
Yeah,
beautiful.
No kidding, Deirdre. So.
Anyway, how could you possibly forget Terry Hatcher's name?
You know what? I was embarrassed. I think I'm having a bad day. I mean, Terry Hatcher was my real and spectacular pigskin prognosticating muse. at Cold Hard Football Facts Insider for almost 3 years until we kicked her to the curb because of our sagging results, which I directly attributed to her sagging real and spectacular former attributes.
And so
we kicked her to the curb at the end of last season. And then, by the way, went on a spectacular run against the spread at Cold Hard Football Facts Insider, as we so often do. And, but yeah, for some reason I had a little brain cramp there and couldn't remember her name. It's like you and your ex-girlfriends or even ex-wives, Frank. You can't, sometimes their names escape you.
Well, you know, there are so many that it's hard to keep track.
So what's going on? I know you like to bring some history to the table. What do we got going on this week?
I do like to bring a little history. And you know what I usually do is I align that to the date that I actually go on the show. But unfortunately today, October 17th, is roughly the most boring day in the history of the world.
That can't be true.
Well, there was some stuff, but most of it happened about 500 years ago. So what?
Did you remember anything that happened 500 years ago? I might find that exciting.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep the show going. Okay. There, Kerry.
Yeah. All right. So what happened near this date that should keep us rocking and rolling?
Well, what I did is I went back to yesterday, and
like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, or you
I
just
got
mean
into the phone booth?
Okay.
Right, into the phone booth.
All right.
I traveled to yesterday, back in 1995.
All right.
And I joined into the Million Man March, which occurred in Washington, D.C. on this date. Yeah. It's funny because you and I walking down the street alone tomorrow could be called the Million Pound March.
That's true.
Can we get a drum fill on that one?
I know. That was a good one, Kevin. Kevin was...
He's a busy man.
That was good, Fred. What else has happened? I was not at the Million Man
Frankie,
March.
Frankie, next time you offer your pre-canned jokes, Frankie, you need to let me know. That way I can cue up Michael Irvin, because he'll laugh at your jokes.
I need that. I'm not a funny guy.
Just say, Michael, laugh about it.
There we go.
Okay. Well, I don't have a pre-canned joke.
Don't you!
That's funny, Frankie.
That's my guy. Mike's my guy. That's why that happened.
So anything else happened on October 16th?
Well, in 2003, Aaron Boone hit the walk-off homer in Game 7 of the ALCS against the Red Sox.
Wow, Kevin, did you hear that? Are you a Red Sox fan? Yeah, that was kind of a kick in the gonads, wasn't it?
That was a painful night.
Let me say something.
I didn't go to school the next day.
Oh, really?
Let me add something to his school. I don't have a problem with the Patriots. I never have. I've always respected the Patriots and enjoy watching them. I can't stand the Red Sox. I don't know what it is, but there's just a difference for me. I don't know. They're from the same city, the same fans, but there's something about the Patriots that are way more professional and classy than the Red Sox.
Can I offer some advice on that, Pat?
Yeah.
I think that you should probably bite your filthy Midwestern tongue. How about that?
Frankie.
So let me come to Pat's defense here. I am at the risk of losing Patriots fans. There's obviously crossover between Patriots and Red Sox fans, but the culture of the two teams is definitely different, right?
It's absolutely different.
And I got turned off on Red Sox fandom when you go to a movie theater back in 2003, and they start chanting Red Sox suck, I mean Yankees suck, every time they showed the Empire State Building in a movie. I mean, no, I'm serious, Pat. That's not a joke. That's true. You could go anywhere in Boston and a Yankee suck chant could arrive. You could be at church and people would start chanting Yankees suck.
Who was it? Heath Evans that chanted Yankees suck at the 2001
Bowl
Parade?
I don't get that. I never got it. And the embarrassing thing is it's like Jets fans chanting Patriots suck. You look at them as little pathetic fans who are jealous of the superior opponent, you know, rival. And that's how it looks to everybody else, that that Red Sox fans were pathetic. I mean, that's what it looked like.
I'm not down with the chant either.
That turned my stomach. But whatever. It is what it is. And, obviously there's a lot of crossover, but I didn't get that whole thing.
No, and I think if you interviewed most Red Sox fans, they'd probably say the same thing. It's something about the mob mentality, you know, somebody gets it started and it just gets going.
But literally the movie thing set me off. That when I was at a movie and people were chanting, I mean, when would Patriots fans chant Jets suck? You wouldn't do it. It'd be demeaning to your own team and your own nature as a Patriots fan.
It is. It's petty.
It is petty. And nobody knows more about petty than you, Frank. So
there's no doubt about it. All right, let's fast forward. Let's get back into the phone booth and go to October 18th.
All right.
And this was 1939 when the second best tight end in the history of football was born. His name was Mike Ditka.
What do you mean the second best tight end in the history of football?
What do I mean? Gronk.
Are you kidding me?
Gronk.
Are you kidding me? Gino, okay.
Hey, I'm a homer. What do you want me to say, man?
I am the world's biggest Mike Ditka fan. I think we talked about my interview with Mike Ditka a couple weeks ago. Were you on, Frank, when we talked about that?
Not much of an interview, really.
No, it wasn't. It was so awesome. He just hung up at me. I'm playing cards and hung up, and I still count that as my all-time favorite interview. But I mean, it was so perfect Ditka, you know what I mean?
I'm sure Troy Brown and Kevin Falk love hearing that, Gary.
But, you know, I had a run-in with Ditka, too, down in Indy last year.
Did you?
At the Super Bowl. Well, you know, here it was. I was coming in from the sidewalk, and I'm walking by the lobby bar, maybe the one time I walked by that bar, and coming from the other direction was Mike Ditka. So, you know, I'm super journalist, right? So I'm trying to think of something to say, and so I opened my mouth and, hey, Mike, comes out, and yeah, he totally ignored me. So I thought he handled that perfectly. I thought that was exactly what I deserved.
Just real quick, so Mike Ditka, Cold Hard Football Facts. I believe the first tight end in history to catch for 1,000 yards as a rookie caught 56 passes for 1,076 yards, almost 20 yards per catch, guys, as a tight end back in the 60s.
Wow.
12 touchdowns. I think he held the record for touchdown receptions by a tight end for decades. Just a spectacular season. No, he won championships with two different teams. He won a championship as a coach. He's kind of like the ultimate alpha male of football history. How do you not like Ditka? Not only that, he can beat a hurricane.
That's true.
He can take a hurricane. I don't dislike him. I just, you know, I'm a Patriots fan. I'm a Gronk guy.
I understand. But that's almost a little, I don't know.
Is it really that blasphemous? That, you know, Gronk scored, what, 18, 19 touchdowns last year?
Yeah, in an era where they throw the ball 600 times a season.
But it had never been done. So, you know, cut my Gronk.
Hold on. I want to know this because, you know, I'm all about the cold hard football facts. So, Ditka, 12 touchdowns in 1961. I want to know how many times the Bears passed the football that season. I'm betting he caught like one of every four passes that season.
Wow, that would be.
They threw 350 passes, and he caught 50 something of them with 12 touchdowns. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's like catching 25 touchdown passes this day and age.
Well, how many passes did the Patriots throw last season?
Well into 500 something.
Okay, and Gronk had like 90 catches, so that's like nearly one out of five.
Yeah, but he had 18, I mean, Ditka 12 touchdown passes. Back in an era when he could prison shank wide receivers and tight ends running down the field.
Basically, what it comes down to for me is whether or not Ditka runs on Gronk. Or does he run on Duncan?
How many times did Ditka bench 225?
Probably definitely more than Gronkowski, and he's 75 years old.
Okay, now that is look, I'll buy that he might have been a
he's 73 years old, and he can still bench more than Gronkowski.
He might have been a bit more integral part of his team's offense.
I'm talking today.
If you think
Ditka would crush Gronkowski like a tiny little girly man,
6'2", 230-pound Mike Ditka is going to outbench 6'11".
Right now, at age 73. He would crush him.
All right, moving on. Okay. Moving on. Yeah, because you're not making any sense for a guy who knows the stats. All right, on October 18th, tomorrow's date, in 1939, Lee Harvey Oswald was born.
The same day as Ditka?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
It's probably cool.
Gary.
I think Ditka killed Lee Harvey Oswald in Dallas.
You know what? Jack Ruby did bear a slight resemblance to Mike Ditka.
Has anybody seen Jack Ruby and Mike Ditka in the same place at the same time?
Never.
You know, Lee Harvey Oswald, actually, on Halloween 1959, he attempted to revoke his U.S. citizenship, and he did not do that, obviously, but had he done that, then that would have changed the course of history if what the grassy knoll tells us is true.
Right. Right. Speaking of the grassy knoll.
Yeah, we were there, weren't we?
Well, you know, that's what I was going to talk about,
no,
you know,
kidding,
in light
okay.
of the Lee Harvey Oswald birthday celebration. You know, do you remember going down there? You know, the greatest part about that whole
trip. Yeah, the Steelers-Packers Super Bowl in Dallas, yeah.
Yep. The greatest part of the whole trip to Dealey Plaza was the cheap, flimsy yellow sign on the in the area.
It said grassy knoll.
It just said grassy knoll.
Pat, have you ever been there?
No, I have not.
It looks like a flea market sign, a big bright yellow flea market sign or police tape.
Yeah, it's like joke shop crime scene tape.
It's like, I have a picture on Facebook of it. It's like embarrassing. It's almost like, I don't know, it diminishes any sort of reverence of the location.
you know, Dallas is supposedly known for doing things big. I think they dropped the ball on that one.
You know what? I'm going to post that photo on the Cold Hard Football Facts Facebook page because that's pretty bad, man. It's really embarrassing. It's supposed to be this reverent area, and you'd think there was a flea market showing up in 5 minutes.
No doubt.
Although we did find a Texas license plate in that truck plate that I took from there.
That's right.
And I got pulled over in Maine and got a $250 ticket for having that in the back window of my truck.
They actually gave you a ticket on
that? For showing an illegal license plate.
Crazy.
So anyway.
You remember the guy that we ran into on our way to the plaza? We had just parked the car and quote unquote found that license plate when we were walking down there, and there was a guy, a panhandler, on the side of the road. Now, yeah, I guess everybody's run into them at some point or another, and, you know, they're a nuisance, you know. You kind of feel bad. Sometimes you give them some money, sometimes you don't. Most of the time they say, you could spare some change, or maybe do you have a dollar, or can I bum a cigarette, something like that. This guy walks up to the two of us and says, hey, do you have $5? I was just amazed at his ambition, you know what I mean? He didn't waste any time.
That homeless guy was more ambitious than you, Frank.
Well, he had places to go, you know. That soup isn't going to soil itself.
Fair enough. So, all right, Frank, always fun. We're going to run. We're going to talk to we're going to take a break here. And on the other side, we're going to talk to famed crime novelist Dennis Lehane, author of great books like Mystic River, Gone Baby Gone, and his brand-new book, Live By Night. Talk to him about that. He's also a big Patriots fan. So we will have Dennis Lehane on the other side.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love.
These are the cold, hard football facts on Patriots.com. The truth hurts.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Cold Hard Football Facts. I am Kerry J. Byrne, joined, as always, by Patrick Immig. Pat, how you doing? Well, Pat's not here right now. I apologize for that.
Trying to get Dennis squared away.
Okay, all right. I apologize for that, folks. So, is Dennis going to be with us?
Yep, just give me about a minute and a half.
Okay, cool. Well, we got a lot to talk about. We went through some of our stat attack already, some of the key games coming up in week 7, which is going to be a pretty big week 7, except in the AFC, we talked about it a bit, only two teams with winning records, which I find almost unbelievable that there's only two teams right now in the AFC with winning records, and Houston and Baltimore meeting, Baltimore and Houston meeting this week. One game I find a little bit interesting, folks, that I don't think any of us saw this as a big game, as what would be a competitive game. Coming into the start of the season is Green Bay at St. Louis on Sunday. The Packers obviously were surprised in that they struggled coming out of the gate this year, and St. Louis is surprised in that they have done so well. And I think that's going to be a much closer game than any of us anticipated at the start of the season. But when I come back on the other side of the Dennis Lehane interview, we're going to talk about that, break down the rest of the games. And I believe we have Dennis here with us right now. Dennis, are you there?
Yeah, I am. How you doing?
Hey, Janice, how are you doing?
Very good.
Beautiful. Well, listen, I appreciate you joining us. I know you're a Boston guy. You're obviously a Patriots fan, from what I understand. But more importantly, one of the great crime novelists in America today. And I understand your brand new book, Live by Night, debuted at number 8 on the New York Times bestseller list.
That is a fact. Yeah.
That's going to be pretty exciting. I know you've had quite a few hits before that, but it's going to always be pretty cool to see something just, you know, kind of pop like that right out of the gate.
Yeah, never gets old. Never gets old at all.
No, I got to ask you, my family's from Dorchester. You're a Dorchester guy. My family's from St. Mark's. Where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
St. Margaret's.
Oh, okay, so not too far away.
No.
But, you know, Dorchester back in the day, for folks who don't know, one of the kind of the old Irish parts of Boston. I know your family's from Ireland. My great-grandmother, that generation, was from Ireland, and they were from that. In Dorchester, you always talk about what parish you were from back in the day. Not so much anymore, I don't think, Dennis. But my
people who grew up. Yeah, I mean, if you grew up there, that's how you know.
Yep.
That's how you know people who grew up of a certain generation. Yeah, definitely. What parish you're from?
Yeah, and I'm from Quincy, but as you know, we say OFD, right? Originally from Dorchester. That's kind of the the line. But my my great-grandmother was 17 when she moved here, and she lived here into her 90s and had her Irish accent to the day she died. I can still hear her saying, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, my old man was you know, sick as a slice of soda bread.
Yeah.
You know, he's broke until he passed. So.
Now, let me ask you, Dennis, being a Boston guy, why is Boston such a great place for crime novels? It seems to me it's always had this reputation. It's kind of really a cool setting for kind of mysteries and crime dramas to unfold. Is that your take on it? And if so, why is it?
I have some guesses, but yep. I'm not sure they're really well informed. I mean, I think part of it is that, you know, we're talking about a very small, you know, a small bit of real estate when you look
yep,
at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And within that tiny bit of real estate, you have every conceivable social group. So you can go from the bottom of the ladder all the way to the top just by crossing from, you know, just by driving from Dorchester to Beacon Hill, which is not it's a spit.
Yeah, know, no, absolutely, yeah.
So I think that's part of it. And then what you have with, certainly I know why I'm obsessed with it, is more I've traveled a lot around this country, and
yep.
what I've realized is how absolutely unique Boston is.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. It's a better or a worse, but there are very few places in the world that are like it. So it's a lot of fun to try to capture that voice, and it's a lot of fun to try to write about that.
Yeah, and obviously, having grown up with the voice, you get it. But I've said the same thing. You travel around, and Boston is a unique cultural enclave unto itself compared to the rest of the country. It really is. There's nothing like it, you know?
No, there's nothing like it. We're not like, you know, most of the country, you can tell you've gone into another town by the next 7-Eleven. That's pretty much it. Everything
yep.
looks the same. Everything feels the same. And we don't have that problem in Boston.
And why is it? Know? And I when I do radio shows talking football over the country, people know right away I'm from Boston by the accent. But for some reason, being from Boston, we need everybody to know we're from Boston. And I don't know why that is. I think it's an odd cultural reaction, and I don't know why.
Well, I don't know. I think Southerners want to know they're from the South. You know?
Yeah, maybe,
I
mean, maybe, yeah.
There's, you know, there's a little bit of that, but Boston's got this, we just got this edge, man. I don't know what the heck it is. I mean, maybe there's just caffeine in the water. I'm not sure. But there's just, you know, people say to me sometimes, why are you mad? I'm like, I'm not mad at all. I'm just from Boston.
Well, you know what's funny? I know you still spent some time in Boston. If you've been over to the Seaport District lately, it's like a new city over there. All the great restaurants. But the one thing I lament is that back in the day, and I'm guessing you're about my age, that was all those CD warehouses were kind of the scene of all those, you know, Robert Parker, Spencer for Hire murders and you know, shootings. They all seem to take place in the CD Boston waterfront that's now kind of upscale. And I think it might have taken away something from the crime drama that you've needed to save us from, Dennis.
Well, yeah, I think that there's certainly, and maybe there's, I was just talking to somebody about whether in some ways, you know, the Mystic River is a victim of a subgenre that it spawned. Like, I think people feel like it might be a little played out to be writing about, you know, sort of poor white crime in Boston, for lack of a better term, because it really got heavily, it got so much play for a decade there. I mean, you had Mystic River, you had Gone Baby Gone,
yep.
you had The Town. You know, so I think it's become a feeling of what's next. I think we're all kind of holding our breath.
Yep.
Because I don't know that we can go to that well much anymore.
And obviously your new book. Let's talk about your new book quickly. Actually, can I do something? They say writing, and I have your new book here, Live by Night, which is not just set in Boston. It's also set in the Gulf of Mexico and Florida. It's got kind of almost a Caribbean vibe to it, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, it's got a kind of Latin. It's not very much a Boston book, and then it follows what the lead character. He ends up after a stint in Charlestown prison. He ends up going down to take over a bootlegging operation in a part of Tampa called Ybor City, which was the Latin Quarter.
Yep, which is also a brewery and a cigar company too, if I remember.
They have not. Well, there were at one point, just like parishes of Dorchester, there were 36 major cigar manufacturers in Ybor City.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, it was the cigar capital of the United States.
Yeah, I knew that. I didn't know there were that many. I knew it was famous for its cigars. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was at one point, it was just this thriving community of cigar factories, and then the Italians, the Spaniards, and the Cubans who worked there.
Yeah.
And so that's the sort of milieu he goes into. And that was also where most of the illegal rum was smuggled into the west coast of Florida.
Well, you know, they say if anyone listening has ever studied writing, or in your case, I know you've taught writing, I've taught a little bit of writing, but one of the number one rules, the cardinal rules of writing is to grab people by the nuggets right out of the gate, right? You want to grab someone. So, folks, if you haven't read Live by Night yet, and I suggest you get it, Dennis's new book, this is the very first sentence. And I have to admit, I haven't read the whole book yet, Dennis, so I don't want to pretend I have, but right out of the gate, this is the first sentence. Some years later, on a tugboat in the Gulf of Mexico, Joe Coughlin's feet were placed in a tub of cement. And that's pretty, that kind of hits you in the face right out of the gate, doesn't it?
I would hope so. Yeah. Yeah, I would hope so.
Now, is that a strategy? I mean, do you consciously employ that, or does it just come out of you?
No, it wasn't. I'd written the book, and I didn't like the first sentence.
Yeah.
And then I just said, I want to do what's known as a frame paragraph. I want to come in and say, okay, this is where he ends up, or possibly where he ends up.
Yep.
And now here's how he got there.
Yep.
And
no,
the book becomes, you know, sort of it's 250 pages, I think, before we get back to that tugboat. It might be 300. And the book becomes a sort of, here's how he ended up with his feet in a tub of cement.
No, and that's exactly why it's so brilliant. Not only does it smack you in the face, but you're like, oh my God, how'd this guy end up here? And that's exactly it. That's exactly what you want to know. And then, of course, right there in the rest of the paragraph, backtrack to meeting his femme fatale, Emma Gould, and Emma Gould, I apologize. And but it just sets the page right away. And that's always, you always hear about guys having their feet, you know, their feet put in a tub of cement. Growing up with my family from Dorchester, you always heard these stories, right? And I've always almost had nightmares about it, right? That's a bad way to go. So
That would be a bad way to go. I can't think of a worse one. So I can think of a couple, but I can't think of too many as bad.
Now, let me ask you. Oh, go on. I'm sorry.
No, go for it.
Well, you've obviously had a lot of your books made into movies, Mystic River and Gone Baby Gone, most notably, which are big time hits as books and also on the silver screen. What's the process of doing that? And my understanding is you don't like to be involved in that because the books are your baby and you almost want someone else to put their interpretation on it. How does that work artistically?
I don't think I should be the screenwriter. It's
okay.
As simple as that.
Okay.
It's just like, I don't care how great a surgeon you are. Nobody would let you operate on your own son. Nobody in their
own
mind.
Yep.
So I just feel like this is, I wrote these things as books. That's how I see them.
Yep.
To ask me to then carve out, you know, 80% of it, which is what you'd have to carve out to get it up on the screen. I'm just the wrong guy for the job.
Yep.
So, but what I do, I have a little more control than I let on in some ways. And what I do is I'm very much a control freak about who I sell my books to. I don't sell to studios. I don't, you know, I don't sell to anonymous kind of suits who will pay me a ton of money. I sell to producers. I sell to very specific producers or producer-director teams. And then it's funny because in this case, for Live by Night, I sold it to Leonardo DiCaprio and his production company. But then they brought in Ben Affleck to write and direct it. So, you know, which is great with me. I've just been in a situation where I get involved in quality people and then I just get out of their way.
Yep.
And if they want to contact me.
Hello? I think we lost Dennis there. Dennis, you with us? So anyway, we'll try to get Dennis back right here. Dennis, you back with us?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, you bumped out there for a while. So, so obviously, you know, when you go to Hollywood with your books, you have A-list people now involved. So I think that's going to provide a bit of comfort that they're going to care for your baby and do a kind of a very compelling interpretation of it, though.
Well, the thing is if you get involved with good people, the worst thing that's going to happen to you is an honorable failure.
Yep.
And that's fine.
Yep.
What you fear is like this embarrassing disaster made by people who didn't understand your book in the first place.
Yep.
And they just bought it because it was the flavor of the month.
Yep.
That's what terrifies you. And I don't, I've been really good. I sell it to good people. Then I get out of their way. And then if they want me, they call me.
Now, they say the book is always, in my belief personally, is the book is always better than the movie is. I know you don't want to judge the movies, I guess. I don't want to put you on the spot. But do you feel that still the book had a lot more into it because there was so much more depth to it? Do you ever walk away kind of disappointed that you wish they had done this or done that?
No.
No,
because I don't think they're the same thing at all.
Okay.
I just don't think it's like saying that, you know, football is better than baseball.
Yep, it's two different mediums.
I just think that, you know, I'll say, you know, books an apple and a movie's a giraffe.
Yep.
And outside of narrative spine, they don't share much in common.
Yep.
So I got no problem saying, you know, there's Mystic River in the book, and then there's Mystic River in the movie.
Yep.
And if you enjoy the book, check out the movie.
Yep. But the only,
vice versa.
The only book I ever read that the movie was better was Jaws. I don't know
so
if you.
Funny that that's what everybody says.
I never heard that. That's just my own opinion. But the book was like a trash, like, you know, the police chief Brody was having an affair and blah blah blah, and it was kind of more of a trashy Pulp Fiction novel. And the movie was brilliant. I mean, the movie was genius to me.
Well, yeah, and I always remember that the shark in the book just sort of dies of its wounds.
Yep.
You know, and it just sort of just rolls over and dies.
Oh, it's much more
point.
Dramatic to get blown up by a canister of oxygen.
That's just not as good as shoving an oxygen tank in his mouth, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. So, well, listen, I invite people to check out your book, Live by Night, but I know you're also your latest book, Live by Night, but I know you're also a Patriots fan, Dennis, growing up here in Boston. And I got to ask you, how do you feel about the team right now? They're 3-3 after six games, got a big game coming up this week against the Jets. Are you confident in this team? Do you feel it's not quite where it used to be?
Well, I would say I would be stunned if they didn't come out there and just annihilate the Jets.
Really?
I think they're a really angry team right now.
Yeah.
And I think they, you know, obviously they should be, but these have been, I heard somebody speaking about it, maybe on ESPN, but somebody was saying that these have just been weird losses.
Yep.
You know, the Arizona loss was bizarre. And then this one was just, it was, this feeling of you guys just shut the door, end this, close the sale.
Yep.
And they just kept hanging around. And I remember I'm in the fourth quarter. They've got, what, a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter at one point?
They were up 23-10. They were up 13 points.
13 points.
Yeah.
I remember being in the fourth quarter and talking to a buddy of mine and just going, I don't feel safe right now.
Yeah.
I don't think this is safe.
Well, that to me is the difference between this team and that we were talking about it earlier before you came on. The difference between this team and the 2001 and 3-4 teams that won Super Bowls is you felt that team always had its foot on the neck of the other team. And I don't feel that with the more recent team. I think you're always worried, like you were watching the game up two touchdowns, that it wasn't safe yet. And I think to me that's something a little different than this team, than the Super Bowl winning teams.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe it's also, who wants to, I mean, even Brady by his own admission said, who wants to see him throw that much?
Yeah, well, you know what? When they run the ball a lot, it's when they win. And when they, and, you know, you have a great quarterback and you balance it with a great running game, not to be cliched. And we try not to do that with the cold, hard football facts. We throw out a bunch of stats that refute conventional wisdom. But the reality is you have a great quarterback and you balance it with, you know, try to run the ball when you can. And when they don't run the ball a lot, it seems like that's when they get into trouble, and when they can't convert, convert fourth downs late in the game and things like that. And I think that's a frustrating thing, as you pointed out. Weird games, and in each case, you know, it's one play. They could be 6-0 right now, Dennis, if not for one play in each game.
Yeah, yeah. But it's funny, but I don't feel snake bit. I feel like there's something that I, as a fan, can't quite see. There's something that, like, I'm just not, as much as I love the Pats, I've been a season ticket holder, the whole thing, I can't speak, you know, with depth about football.
Yep, yep. How long have you been a season ticket holder, anyway?
What's that?
How long have you been a season ticket holder?
10 years, maybe.
Oh, really? All right. So you've been there for all the glory years, then.
Yeah, yeah. So it's been the greatest sporting event of my life was the 2004 AFC Championship game.
Yeah, that was quite a game. The game against was that the game against the Colts or the game against the Steelers you're talking about?
That was the game against the Colts. Remember
okay,
it was 18 below.
And yeah, and they won 20-3 or whatever. Yeah, that was a great game. That was to me the height of kind of the Patriots dynasty too. So hey, I have to ask you one.
Yeah, that is. So what we're talking about here is this weird feeling. Like I can't tell you why they're not winning those games.
Yep.
I can just tell you that I don't feel this confidence that you like you said you used to feel.
Yep. And there's good reason. We track something at Cold Hard Football Facts called quality wins, how well you do against teams with winning records. And we were talking about it back in the day. In 2003 and 2004, they won more games against winning teams than any teams in history. They went 10-0 against winning teams in 2003 and 10-1 in 2004. Nobody's ever done that in the history of football. And this team hasn't beat a team with a winning record, Dennis, since 2010 now. It's been a year and a half. And that's a concern. They're not, as we said earlier, they're not as mentally tough, and I don't think as physically tough as they used to be. Maybe more talented, but something, that confidence that you get as a fan, I think is exuded from something they did differently back then, and I think that's the one thing, kind of something you can't really identify that's really missing right now.
Well, it's also those heart and soul players. Like, yep. You would just say, you know, you would say McGinnis, you would Teddy Bruschi, you know what I mean? Those guys, you
yep.
just point out and say, those are heart and soul guys, you know,
yep.
where I'm not sure anybody's leap outside of Brady is leaping out to me. I mean, I could be wrong. I don't want to insult the Patriots. Well, Welker.
But, yeah, and I don't know if you've seen the hits he's taken in recent weeks, man. That guy, for a little guy, I mean, what a great athlete, but wow, does he get whacked.
It was awful in Seattle. I was like, you know, somebody protect that guy.
You got to put that one in your books. That's the way to go. You get Welked.
You get Welked.
Ooh,
that's good. I like that.
Hey, let me ask you. And you got to say it like a Bostonian. You got Welked. So, hey,
you
let
got
me.
Welked and Conked, kid.
Let me ask you before we go. My co-host, Pat Imig, wanted me to ask you this question. Who should play Gronkowski and Belichick in the future Dennis Lehane football crime novel? We need some Hollywood actor to play the Gronk and to play Bill Belichick.
Okay, so let's see. Gronk, I'm just trying to think massive. Who's the dude who plays Thor?
I'm not up on my Hollywood stuff. We'll ask Pat when he comes back after
that
you're
guy.
Off. And, okay.
The guy plays Thor. Chris something.
And who
he'd be fine.
Who plays Belichick?
Belichick, it's too big. You remember that guy, Philip Baker Hall?
Yep.
He would be a great Belichick, but I think he's too old now.
Well, Belichick's not a kid anymore either, though. So I don't
bring him back. I think you find him wherever he is, bring him back. He'd be a great, because he has that just general, you know, sour and unpleasant look on a regular basis, you know.
Chris Hemsworth is the guy you're thinking of who plays Thor.
There you go. Shave his head. He's gone.
Fair enough. So, all right. Well, listen, Dennis, we appreciate your time. I really do. And, good luck with the success of Live by Night, a great book. We suggest people go out and check it out. And I look forward to talking to you again down the road, Dennis. Thank you for your time.
Hey, thanks, anytime.
All right, talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, that was interesting, Pat, having Dennis Lehane on, a football fan, but really a great artist. I mean, a guy who exudes Boston just from the way he talks and the way he writes and everything. And also, I didn't know he was a Patriots season ticket holder. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. When he said, people ask me, what's wrong? Why are you in a bad mood? I say, nothing. I'm just from Boston. I think that applies to me. I don't say I'm from St. Louis. I just say I'm fine.
it's that nice Midwestern shtick. So listen, we gotta take a break. One last break before the end of the show. And, when we come back, we got some final stat attack. We got a couple cool skits and we will talk to you after the break.
The cold, hard football facts. If stats were money, we wouldn't need this job.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call ** NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Ice Cold Fantasy Advice.
Barry Matthews back again with more Ice Cold Fantasy Advice for Week 7. Have you ever had the fantasy of eating chicken wings while riding horseback with Lauren Tannehill? How about doing the discount double check with Susie Colbert?
What does it mean to you now when it's really struggling?
With your fantasy update, I'm a desperate man.
I want to kiss you.
Poor Barry Matthews. The guy just needs a couple friends, I think.
I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe. That's a huge compliment. Yeah,
Don't talk about the man I love that way. Anyone who eats chicken wings on horseback with Lauren Tannehill, I think is a great man, and how dare you disrespect him?
Well, I'll keep that in mind when I do the Make-A-Wish for Carrie Byrne at some point in your life, and we'll get Lauren Tannehill to ride horseback, and she'll be carrying a plate of buffalo wings for you.
The Lady Godiva of buffalo wings. I think I need some quality time alone after the show, Pat.
That sounds good to me. Lauren Tannehill, her hubby Ryan, of course, yep, was on the field Sunday against the Rams. The Dolphins and Rams each went to 3-3 after that. But you were talking about the Rams prior to our interview with Dennis Lehane, and we'll get into that as part of our stat attack before we head out of here. What do you see? What do you see for the Packers visiting the Rams? A game that, as you said, was something that was on the schedule probably in August, where people said this is going to be a blowout, and now 6 weeks into the season, it looks like it's going to be a close game, especially with the Rams playing at home.
Well, you know, a couple things you got to like right now. The Rams, I mean, it's all about the defense in the NFC West, right? We know that. Let me run down some numbers right now. The Rams, number 5 in passing yards per attempt against them. Number 5 in defensive passer rating, a key stat we talk about all the time. Number 6 in our defensive hog index. We saw how good that defense was a couple weeks ago when the Rams dominated the Cardinals at home. So I think this is a team. We saw what Seattle did to Green Bay a couple weeks ago defensively. I think the Rams can put up a great fight. I'm actually, I didn't think I'd look forward to this game, Pat, but I am looking forward to this game Sunday.
Yeah, and this is, you mentioned Green Bay losing at Seattle. The Rams playing at home, they're 3-0. They've beaten the Redskins, the Seahawks, as well as the Cardinals. So you figure that's going to play have a little bit of an impact, too, based on the fact that Green Bay already kind of failed. Replacement reps be damned in Seattle, but that is definitely going to be an intriguing game. Speaking of intrigue, America's dumbest team always brings the intrigue. The Cowboys at the Panthers. What do you see in Charlotte?
I want America's dumbest team to catch on because it is America's dumbest team. And the way we know that, the Cowboys are the least efficient team in football. Number 30 on scoreability, our measure of offensive efficiency, which is bad enough, but number 30 in bendability, our measure of defensive efficiency. It's almost impossible to be that bad, that inefficient on both sides of the football, but the Cowboys have managed to do it. A talented team that doesn't play well. So, I mean, the Panthers are not a good team, but you know what? The Cowboys are not a hell of a lot better right now. So that could prove to be more intriguing than maybe it should be.
How about the Saints at the Bucs?
You know, Tampa Bay, I think, you know, granted it was the Chiefs, but to put up a big win like that, I think it's pretty impressive. The Saints, we don't know what we have in them yet. Obviously, the slow start was very concerning. They finally got a win, but it was not a big win. It was a win against a very bad, and talk about dumb, a very dumb San Diego team 2 weeks ago before their bye week. So, again, I think these are games. I think we have a lot of games this week that we didn't think would be compelling matchups, but right now we just gone through three that I would have said dud at the start of the year that I think are looking pretty good this year, and it's pretty good this week, and it's right now it's shaping up. It's kind of a better week than I thought it might have, you know, looking ahead 2 weeks ago, say.
Yeah, and I'm looking here at the Saints and Bucks breakdown on the quality stats on the CHFF Insider, and a friendly reminder to everybody listening, you can go on to coldheartfootballfacts.com, sign up for your 1 week free trial. But this is the most shocking number to me on that list. The Tampa Bay Bucs are number one right now in the NFL in defensive rushing yards per attempt. And that's something that is the complete opposite of where they stood last year.
They were 32nd last year. They were the worst defensive front in football. And right now they're number four in our defensive hog index, number one in run defense. Probably more important than just that one unit. The Buccaneers, we size up every team at Cold Hard Football Facts Insider. Every game, we size up each team in 20 different quality stats. The Buccaneers, through 6 weeks, better than New Orleans, better than the Mighty Saints in 14 of 20 quality stats. It doesn't mean they're going to be better over the long haul, but that, to me, is really one of the most shocking aspects of Week 7.
How about the Music City Miracle rematch, the Titans at the Bills?
You know, two teams doing nothing. I don't want to spend too much time on it. The Titans have been the worst team in football pretty much the whole year. I think the Bills are probably a little bit better. They've not played poorly at home, so
You're mad at the Titans because they ruined your pick last week against the Steelers.
I'm actually more mad at the Bills for benching my hero Doug Flutie back before the 1999 playoffs.
Next game, Redskins at Giants. This will be a nice NFC East showdown.
Yeah, I mean,
division.
The Giants skyrocketed up our quality stats across the board. After that big win in San Francisco, right now they look like a much better team than they did a couple weeks ago. Number two in our quality stats, power rankings. Number three in our relativity index, which measures how well you do against relative to the quality of your opposition. But, you know, RG3, an exciting player. If the Giants have a weakness, that defense, except for that one game, has not been great. It's not been a great pass defense. So if RG3 can exploit that, we may have an exciting game in the NFC East.
Jaguars at Raiders, and I want you to answer this question in one word, and we'll move on. Are you interested in the Jaguars at the Raiders?
No.
The Jets at the Patriots.
Now, this is a very interesting game, obviously, being here in New England, deep in the bowels of Gillette Stadium right now. You know, the Patriots have issues, guys. We know that, but so do the Jets. The Jets, you know, as bad as the Patriots are in defensive passer rating, 27th. The Jets are 30th in offensive passer rating, a 71.5 offensive passer rating. They're playing Stone Age football. As bad as they had a nice win against the Colts. As bad as they've been, they don't have the horses to run with the Patriots. The Patriots are the better team. The reason we know they're the better team, the Patriots number 6 in our relativity index. The Jets number 18. The Patriots will win on Sunday, and I'm pretty confident of that.
I think it's going to be I agree with Dennis Lehane, too. I think it's going to be angry Patriots, angry Brady, and I think they're just going to wipe the floor, and I can't wait to see King Hippo, a.k.a. Rex Ryan, flap his gums after that.
He's not quite the hippo anymore that he used to be, though.
No,
Pat.
No. King Hippo, well, it's more of a reference to King Hippo. He was a character on Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. All the guy did
right.
All the guy did was run his mouth.
That's right. It went over my head. I was thinking purely of his size, but you're right. I remember that. Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Got to punch King Hippo in the belly. Steelers at Bengals. That's Sunday night.
The Bengals, a lot of, you know, they got a lot of issues. Right now, they're last in the NFL converting third downs. The Steelers best in the NFL converting third downs. I think the Steelers keep together a lot of long drives. The Bengals are going to struggle. And I think this should be a game where we see a return to the natural order of things in the NFC North.
I look forward to that. And then the NFC North Monday night, the Detroit Lions at the Chicago Bears. I'm going to just say it right now. For no reason, not based off the numbers, I'm going to ignore the numbers. I'm going to say the Lions are going to pull the upset.
You're out of your mind.
Fair enough. Why is that?
Well, Chicago, how about this? Chicago number one in our quality stats power rankings right now. After the bye, some teams ahead of them lost. San Francisco and Houston. The Bears right now, statistically, the best team in football. Number one in scoring defense. Number two in scoring offense. Boosted, of course, by a lot of scoring by the defense. Number one in seven different cold hard football facts quality stats. Number one on our relativity index. Number one on our defensive hog index. Number one on our quality stats power rankings. Oh, by the way, if you go to Cold Hard Football Facts Insider and check out Spreadopedia, you'll see that they're not only 8-2 straight up under Lovie Smith on Monday Night Football. They're 7-3 against the spread. They're a very good primetime team. With the performance against the Packers early this year, notwithstanding. They win on Monday Night Football. The Lions lose in the division on the road. The Bears are much better than people are giving them credit for. And right now, they're a dark horse to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Well, the fact that the NFL is so topsy-turvy and we have shakeups every week with, look at what happened with the Texans this past weekend. That's why I'm going to say, Jim Schwartz and the Lions, they're going to actually pull this one through. But I actually don't know if I believe what I'm saying. I think I might just be saying it to say it.
Well, let me tell you, number one, the Bears, number one in defensive efficiency, what we call bendability, number one in defensive passing yards per attempt, number one in defensive real quarterback rating, number one in defensive passer rating.
Can we put an asterisk next to their number one ranking or their high ranking on the scorability since that's also coming from their defense?
But no, that's the beauty of scorability, man. The score, and the scoreboard doesn't matter who scores. People worry about this all the time, Pat. Who gets credit for the scores? It doesn't matter. Lance Briggs and Charles Tillman have each had pick sixes, each of them in each of the last Bears two games. But that's good. That's good for a team. If you're scoring points defensively, that's good. We count that in scorability. That means you're scoring points at a high rate, high efficiency, and that's important. We don't look at units in a vacuum. Football is not played in a vacuum. We don't, other sites measure units in a vacuum. It's a waste of time. It's a team game. That's why they're number one in scorability. We should applaud that. It's a good sign for their prospects going forward.
Well, that is just outstanding, and after that stat attack, I think I need a cigarette. I don't know about you, Gary. I don't even smoke.
Fair enough. All right.
Are the Buffalo Wings, are they in the fryer for you right now?
I'm going to call up Lauren Tannehill right now and see if I can go for a ride on her pony.
Sounds like a plan to me. For Kevin Collins, yeah, thank you. Where's Kevin Eubanks? That's funny, Jay. There's Kevin. Appreciate that.
He's smiling inside in the producer's booth.
That's good. Kevin Collins, the smiling Kevin Collins, the all-world producer for the Potentate of Pigskin, who reminds you to check out Cold Hard Football Facts Insider. We've got, how long are we going to have the free one-week trial? Is that going to be going all year?
This week, and we'll judge accordingly. But you should check out now. You should definitely check it out now, coldhardfootballfacts.com. Click the Insider, the yellow Insider button. Get a free trial. Kick the tires on Cold Hard Football Facts Insider.
Fair enough. For Kerry and for Kevin, my name is Patrick Emick. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will talk to you guys next week. Don't forget, tomorrow from 4 to 6 Eastern on Patriots.com, it's Bill Enright, Todd DeVries with Football Nation, and then they'll be back on Tuesday as well, same time slot with Fantasy Football Champs. And, Kerry, you enjoy yourself over the weekend. We'll be in touch, and I will be eating plenty of buffalo wings in your honor.
I appreciate that, Pat. Talk to you next week.
All righty.
Doesn't need his name up in lights, he just wants to be heard, whether it's the beat or the mic, he feels so so unlike everybody else, alone in spite of the fact that some people still think that they know.
Cold Hard Football Facts, a member of the FootballNation.com family.